think most business owners don't spend the time to stop and learn investing. They're just so busy being business owners. When we get into business, if we think about it, the goal is to try and set us up for life. And so how are we going to do that? We ultimately need to get money out of the business vehicle so we can get it into our even personal entity and invest and grow it that way, or we can get it into superannuation. And the mistake that most people make is they just stick with normal superannuation. They don't do the self-managed super fund type. So if you look at most wealthy people, they'll have self-managed super fund, because a standard superannuation, or in US it's called a 401k, so you might be growing at 8% a year.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. Today's guest is someone who truly embodies what it means to live life by design. Greg Kassa is a self-made multimillionaire who's built his wealth through marketing, sales, business, and investing. His portfolio of companies collectively turns up over $2 million a month. But what's even more impressive is how he's helped scale more than 350 other businesses as a founder, coach, partner, and agency owner. Greg has spent years learning from some of the highest level masterminds in the world, ran a successful marketing agency for over 7 years, and led the collective mastermind for over 8. Along the way, his team has generated more than $500 million in online sales, and he has an extraordinary track record of growth and impact. So Greg these days focuses on scaling hero businesses through win-win profit share partnerships, continuing to teach others how to build wealth and freedom through business and smart investing. And when he's not helping others grow, you'll probably find him surfing, living his version of paradise, and proving that success isn't just about the money, but also about lifestyle, freedom, and purpose. Greg, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you on.
Hi, Phoebe. Thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, stoked to have you, and really looking forward to diving more into this topic of freedom, lifestyle, and hearing about how you've created this dream life that so many people are working so hard towards, which I guess kicks off my first question. How did you get here? And yeah, what did you do to get to where you are today?
Well, I guess now I'm living in tropical paradise, an area you would have seen actually, Byron Bay on the east coast of Australia. And I'm lucky in that I get to surf every day, and I've got a lot of time and money freedom. But I say luck, but luck is labor under correct knowledge. So kind of I engineered that, you know what I mean? No one gave it to me. I hustled and made it happen. But back originally, it was in technology, designing computer networks for banks and insurance companies, all that kind of thing. And I could really tell that the internet was the future. I started selling online, got really good at that. And then others started asking me, hey, could you help me with that? So I accidentally sort of ran in a marketing agency for a few years, 7 years. That was kind of how I got out of the day job. And then from there, I've been a coach and then what's called a growth hacker. So I'm very good at scaling companies, and a growth hacker will scale a company and then only get paid if it makes a profit and then share in those profits. So I've done well with that. And then in more recent years, morphed into more of an investor because I've found that there's more money in getting your money growing for you. So that's kind of like how it's all worked out.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. And you've designed a life that most people dream of. You're living in paradise down in Byron Bay. You're surfing almost every day and running multiple successful businesses, which is absolutely incredible. And I'm curious to hear what the key mindset shifts or milestones were, or what were some of those daily habits that helped you to create and sustain that kind of freedom?
Yeah, I love that you're going straight to mindset, because as Tony Robbins says, it's as much as 80 or 90% of success. I think the most important mindset trait that I've had over time has been resiliency. Because like, while most things are really great now, the reality is it hasn't always been that way. So I started online back in 2003, And so through to now, that's quite a number of years. But the amount of things that went wrong along the way were effectively where you get kicked in the guts. And the trick has been to just keep picking myself up and keep going forward. And then also with a different mindset, identifying what do the top 1% people do? What do they think like? How do they act? What are they learning? What are they doing? And so just always taking on that persona of a top 1% entrepreneur. And that sort of like, and then really living that life. That's kind of been some of the big keys in this mindset and emotional intelligence journey. It is really a journey. I don't think anyone ever says that they've nailed their mindset or they've nailed their emotional intelligence. But emotional intelligence has been another big part of it. So I meet a lot of entrepreneurs who can't really control their emotions, or investors if something goes wrong. So just being very, very smooth and coming from more of a place of logic than emotion has been a major, major component of the success.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're talking about investing and looking at things that are changing on a daily basis, like the stock market. It's so easy for people to just follow trends and pull out of an investment, be out of emotion, out of fear. Stepping back a little bit.
Yeah.
When you were in your 20s and your 30s.
Yes.
What was the things that you were doing with your time and your money? Because I actually shared this in my Instagram stories yesterday. I came across an entrepreneur that was talking about how she didn't invest and look into how to grow her wealth and her investment and her passive income until she made her first million. And she said, unless you have $1 million, don't waste your time looking at how you can take that money further. And I'm not really sure if I agree with that, but I wanted to hear your thought. Did you first start with your business before you started looking at investing and passive income, or was that something that came together for you?
To know and not to do is not to know, in a way. So I knew that I should be doing business plus investing, but I wasn't actively doing it for a long time, you know, through my 20s and 30s. And I was more focused on the business side. So getting really good at technology, then getting really good at marketing and sales and traffic, those kinds of things. So I knew all along like what the winners were as far as with Google and Facebook and Amazon. And I did well, you know, on those platforms as a media buyer and using them as a marketer, but I wasn't smart enough at the time to own those investments and ride them the whole way up, which would have been amazing. But the good thing is history is repeating. And while the dot-com boom happened and a lot of us missed it, the AI and blockchain boom is happening again now. And so there's a whole another opportunity. Yeah, so I'd love to say that I was smart enough to invest early on, but I really wasn't. I was really more focused on the business side. I look at it as a dual black belt strategy. I feel like we need to get our black belt in sales, marketing, business, because that's really like the cash flow component of it. And then we need to get our black belt in investing, which often comes second, which is about how to get our money growing for us. Because what I've found is if you don't have both cash flow and net worth, then life gets stressful. And if you can get like good cash flow happening, then you can pay your bills, you've got cash to invest, life is just cruisy and fun. But unless you build, you get your money growing for you and build a big net golden goose, at some stage you're not going to have eggs to live on later on. Yeah, so that's why now I'm really, really focused on both business and investing. And I probably spend more time learning investing now, but I've already got to a fairly good stage in business. But yeah, definitely both. I look at it as B plus I. Are you familiar with the cash flow quadrant, Robert Kiyosaki?
I was blessed that was one of the first books that my dad gave me as a teenager. But yeah, Assuming that the listeners haven't read the book.
Yes. So it follows on from the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book from Robert Kiyosaki. It's the second one. It's called Cash Flow Quadrant. And what it says is you can get rich a number of ways, but four main ways. You can be an employee, you can be self-employed, you can be a business owner, or you can be an investor. To amplify it, if you combine anything with investing, so you can be an employee who also invests, you can be self-employed who also invests, or a business owner who also invests. And if you look at every billionaire in the world, nearly all of them have the same formula and recipe that I do, which is business owner who also invests. That one has the most leverage.
Yes, I agree. And I was actually describing that recently to a friend during a walk and just sharing that if you can be a business owner and an investor, then you're in that top quadrant. And
absolutely.
And that's the ideal place to be.
For sure. It is the fastest horse. Yeah.
Yes. So how much time would you say a business owner should spend on looking at investing?
I would say I spend an hour a day learning, but it's across a whole bunch of things. So whether it's learning AI, what's happening in sales, marketing, business, and what's happening in investing, because the way I look at it is I'm not a physical athlete, I'm a mental athlete. And I'm that top 1% mindset, again, got to keep learning, got to keep evolving, especially with how fast the world is changing. I think most business owners don't spend the time to stop and learn investing. They're just so busy being business owners. But most business owners make money in the business and then the money sort of goes back around in a circle. I'll reinvest it back in the business. But when we get into business, if we think about it, the goal is to try and set us up for life. And so how are we going to do that? We ultimately need to get money out of the business vehicle so we can get it into our even personal entity and invest and grow it that way, or we can get it into superannuation. And the mistake that most people make is they just stick with normal superannuation. They don't do the self-managed super fund type. So if you look at most wealthy people, they'll have self-managed super fund because a standard superannuation, or in US, it's called a 401k. So you might be growing at 8% a year. But then it may have 2%, 3%, or 4% fees and then similar in inflation. And so you're kind of actually not really going anywhere. You think you're going up at 8%, but you might only be going up at like 2% a year sort of thing. Whereas my own self-managed super fund has been compounding at closer to 30% a year. So which is a massive difference from 8. I've still got the same problem with inflation. I can't avoid that. But my fees are a lot lower as well, because with a mutual fund, which is what most people have in their superannuation, there's a fund manager who's buying and selling all the time for you, trying to outperform the market. But what happens with a mutual fund is that every time they buy and sell, it incurs fees and they don't keep the fees themselves. They pass them on to you. So it just ends up very bloated and inefficient. So I would say as much as 99% of people, what they're doing with their superannuation is setting them up to fail. That's why a lot of people get to retirement and they've got $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not if you then need to retire off that. Because ideally, when you get to retirement, if you've got to build a golden goose, say you had $2 million built, then ideally, if you were able to get 10% on your money, you could then live on the 200 grand that it spits out a year. Whereas if you only have $500,000 and you $50,000 doesn't go very far these days. So that's why I'm big believer in like getting your superannuation working for you as a SMSF.
Yeah. So where do people start with the SMSF stuff?
I think it's really about education, like so just going down the rabbit hole and learning investing. And then it kind of needs to be a decent size, like I would say. An accountant will probably tell you $200,000 or $250,000 before you take it over. But we've done it with other business owners we've worked with. Got as little as $100,000 and just getting it growing, because $100,000 and getting it growing at 20% or 30% compound interest then starts to work in your favor, where you've turned 100 into 120, when you then turned into 145, and so that getting compound interest working for you. Like what the banks do, you know, like with most people when they've got a mortgage and that, the bank is making money rather than, you're on the wrong side of compound interest. But with investing, you can really, be on the right side of that compound interest formula.
That's absolutely fantastic. And that's a huge growth rate. That's better than a lot of EFDs.
Yeah. ETFs, absolutely. Yeah, nearly all. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, wow. So do you have any resources, Greg, that you would recommend for someone that listening to this episode and going, okay, I need to start thinking about my self-managed super fund. I don't know anything about SMSF, but I've heard the term. It's become a bit of a buzzword, in fact. Where would people start? Would it be on YouTube? Do you have recommended books or?
Yeah, YouTube's a great spot to start as far as the education, but with investing, what I've figured out is skate to where the puck is going. So you and I talked about it the other day. There's a famous ice hockey player by the name of Wayne Gretzky. And Wayne was the best at ice hockey during his period. And there was a famous interview. They said, hey, Wayne, why are you the best, you think? And he said, it's easy. It's because everyone else skates to where the puck is and I skate to where the puck is going. And that really hit me. And I realized that's what I'm doing with my investing. So I specialize in tech investing. So in order to win in investing, it's not very difficult at all. You just basically got to figure out where's the world going. Okay. So is the world going more digital or less digital, right? It's going more digital. So focusing in those areas is a great way to go. So is it more AI or less AI, right? So more AI. So that would be like one of the big buckets that we look at. And so I basically look at investing across three buckets. Again, so definitely not financial advice, and everyone needs to do their own research, but I'm just sharing, yeah, what's kind of worked for me. So AI is like the first big bucket that I look at. And then within that, once you've got these multiple buckets, then we'll look at sort of what are some winners within them. The second one is scarce resources, what's called hard assets. So the governments around the world, whether it's the US, Australian, they're all broke. If you think of it like a credit card, they overspend. They run deficits all the time and they just clock up more and more debt. And while it doesn't seem that bad initially, when you hear just people talking about, hey, the cost of the living's gone up, the cost of my groceries, all that kind of thing, that's inflation. And that's largely caused by your government. And there's also another term called debasement, which means that if you wanted to buy hard assets, you can't buy as many of them anymore. Your money is becoming less, yeah, worth less, basically. So how you can protect yourself against that is hard assets. So that's buying things like gold, things like silver, things like Bitcoin that have a limited supply. And then the third big bucket that I look at is, again, Bitcoin, but a blockchain and crypto. And basically what's happening there is that the world's financial system's kind of broken and inefficient. So say you're in the UK and I'm in Australia and I wanted to transfer you, I owe you $10,000. It might take 3 days to get there and have $67 in fees. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Whereas if it was sent with something like Solana, it could be there in a second and cost 1 cent. That's the difference sort of thing. So that's why I just look at, hey, where's the world going? And then those are my three big buckets that I focus on. If you think of the 80-20, so the Pareto principle, what's the 20% of things that are going to give you 80% of results? And then winners take most. So then it's really about going deep down those three rabbit holes and then trying to figure out what are the winners within those areas.
That's definitely some food for thought here. Yeah. And speaking of crypto, that's something that even I myself have gotten into, but found it. It's just such a space that has so many variables and unknowns and risks. And some people have a higher risk tolerance than others. Mine's probably more like medium high-ish. But for those that are a bit more conservative, that feel like crypto is really volatile, what would you say to them? What's something that would kind of ease maybe the angst for some of the investors that are now stepping into the crypto world?
Yeah, I think you really do need to understand the cycles and timings over time, because why a lot of people lose money is they just buy at the wrong time. So most people will get excited about, for example, if you take a talk about Bitcoin, most people will get excited about it when it's really pumping. Okay, but that's the wrong time to get excited about it, because you don't want to buy it when it's most expensive. You want to buy it when it's cheaper and on sale, and then you appreciate those gains. People also look at it as a trade. So they're thinking about it as, hey, I've bought it for 100,000 US, I'm going to sell it for 110,000 US. But Bitcoin itself is a limited resource and it just keeps multiplying over and over and over again. So I was lucky enough to get in 2017, but luck, again, labor under correct knowledge, I engineered that, you know, myself by going down that rabbit hole and learning it. And then since then, it's multiplied many times. But getting into 2017, it felt like I was too late then, because it had already gone from zero to a dollar. It had, you know, basically 10x'd. And then from a dollar to 10, it had 10x'd again. 10 to 100, it had 10x'd again. 100 to 1,000, it had 10x'd again. 1,000 to 10,000, which is when I started getting in, that was when it had 10x'd again. And then when I was in it, it went from 10,000 to 100,000. But the next 10x is 100,000 to 1,000,000. And while it might take a little bit longer, it's not really like if it does it, it's just really a when. So people think that they're too late for these things. But Michael Saylor, who arguably owns the most Bitcoin in the world, says you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve to get Bitcoin, which I don't think is very politically correct. But what he's saying is, like, people will spend 40 hours a week working, and at no stage stop and go, hang on a second, like, if I'm working, earning all this money, and then my government is just going to keep printing money and making my money that I earn worth less, why don't I learn about things like gold? Why don't I spend some time learning about things like silver, learn about things like Bitcoin that have a limited supply And then while everything else is going down in value, they're going up. So they're the exact opposite, you know, being that inverse of it. So yeah, it all really starts with education, because investing, it seems risky at first, but once you get good at it, it's kind of like a rigged game. It's incredible. And also there's a military analogy of, yes, you might lose an individual battle. So say, for example, you had one investment that didn't go well, but if you stick at it and you have a bit of a diversification strategy, you're going to win the long-term war. You know what I mean? As long as you keep holding and then being able to control your emotion and keep learning, that's really the key to it. But absolutely life-changing if you get good at it.
Absolutely. And I truly believe in a diversified portfolio, because if you have all of your funds in, say, AI and technology, but you don't have a little bit in, say, like crypto or healthcare or the banks or gold, etc., then when one sector drops or is overvalued, it's a bit of a correction time, then you're really going to feel it in your portfolio. In learning a lot more about that in the last few years, totally agree with you. And I love the concept of you talking about people need to invest in things where there is a limited supply, because yeah, that's always going to go up. I've recently heard a lot of people say, oh, gold, it's too late. Gold's overvalued. It's hyped. Everyone's onto it now. Everyone's been going out and buying gold. It's even on the news. Do you think that it's too late for people to still be investing in gold?
No, absolutely not. Because it might have a correction in the short term, but that's where it doesn't matter, because it would be a long-term investment. It's not necessarily a short-term trade. If you look at the US government, who's got $38 trillion worth of debt, and then their government was shut down because they were so broke, and then now they've just agreed to print more debt. So they're going into a massive money printing thing. The US dollar is the reserve currency of the world, and it's being deflated away. So that means that gold is just going to continue to get more and more and more valuable. So yeah, it's absolutely a great time to buy gold, even though it has already pumped this year. That's fine. You may get an adjustment in the short term, but long term, you'll do very, very well with gold, is my opinion.
Yeah. And what about people that don't physically want a piece of gold in their home and they're worried that it might get stolen, etc.? What do you think of getting like gold-based EFTs or shares?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good point you raised, Phoebe. There's two ways you can buy gold. So you can go to a gold bullion place and you can literally buy, like, whether they're coins or whether they're little chunks of gold, and then store it in a safety deposit box in a gold bullion place. That's one way of doing it. Or the other way is you buy an ETF, which means exchange traded fund. Effectively, it's like buying a share agreement. And then, so say for example, BlackRock was the company that I bought my gold ETF from. Well, if I spent $10,000 there, then they have to go buy $10,000 worth of physical gold and store it for me. That's the way it works. And for most people, that's a better way to go. And keeping it in your house isn't really a great move, because if you get robbed or you have a fire, or it should survive a fire, but that's why I like bank vaults or gold bullion vaults is a better way if you're going to have physical gold. Rather, even a safe in your own house isn't a great move.
No, I mean, people can steal a safe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And I'm really glad we touched on this, because it's definitely really concerning when you talk about the fact that the government is like printing money, the value of our money is going down, and people are working really hard to try and build serious wealth.
The only way they can get out of that is by investing in scarce resources. So gold, silver, Bitcoin, those kinds of things. So what really is horrible is that the governments around the world are broke. They're going to keep spending like this. But there's an advantage to it as well. If you know that's going to happen, remember, skate to where the puck is going. So by doing the investments like what we're talking about with the gold, silver, Bitcoin, the scarce resources, and there's others of them as well. But yeah, you can be on the right side of history or you can be on the wrong side of history. And so that's where like allocating into those things has a greater chance of putting you on the right side of history.
Absolutely. You know, definitely doing some more research. I know that you have a resource for the listeners. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Businessinvestfreedom.com is a website that's just, all it does is give away free training. So it's got like 4 training videos on there. There's stuff about how to run your business as a well-oiled machine so that you don't have to be always in it. So I'm very good at that. There's how to scale your company in there. There's also some health stuff. So yeah, biohacking. And yeah, there's also investing, like, yeah, growing and really engineering the wealthiest version of you.
Amazing. So for anyone that wants to learn more about this, definitely check that website out. We'll pop it in the show notes or reach out to Greg as well, because that's definitely a fantastic tool to get live updates. Greg, are you still running a mastermind where you're teaching people this kind of stuff on a regular basis?
Yeah. So we run the Collective Mastermind, which is based out of Australia, and we meet four times a year, and just it's business owners who also want to do investing. I figured out over time that I'm good at helping business owners become the wealthiest versions of them. And it's a really fun group because people are just, you know, flying. They're doing really, really well. But we also do a whole bunch of fun stuff together. So like next activity, we've just been in New Zealand snowboarding together. Now we're about to go jet skiing together. And then the next activity we're doing is whitewater rafting together. So everything I do is by design. So by doing those sorts of activities, the group really bonds. And then when you get up to the mastermind process and people are sharing what their biggest problem or opportunity is, all those society barriers have already been broken down and they trust each other. And so everyone helps each other in a really, really safe environment. So yeah, it's pretty amazing what happens with that. It's really life-changing for people. Like, say it's like a sliding door opportunity. If you go, you join the group, like your life will change in ways you don't even really know yet. So it's really great. It has a trail of change behind it, which is cool.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic and a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, if you've been snowboarding with someone, you're a lot more likely to connect with them in a boardroom than if you were just sat in a like a hotel conference center where you've only seen that person on a webinar and you don't even recognize them. So that sounds like a great way to bring a mastermind together.
Yeah, and I think people crave community now as well. Like as things are more and more digital and going more and more AI, I really do like getting together with like other entrepreneurs. It's great for us as well because these are all positive, like-minded people. Like we color herd. So if someone's got a negative mindset or, yeah, they're not nice to people or whatever, they'll really get culled out, say, sorry, you know, it's not for you. That whole concept of one bad bit of fruit in a bowl ruins the bowl. So by culling the bottom of it, it means that the actual mastermind itself is full of positive, like-minded people. So it's really uplifting for you to hang out with folks like that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love the sounds of that. Greg, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your health, because that's obviously a big part of our wealth. And not a lot of people think about that way. And not a lot of people think about what's their health going to be like in 10, 15, 20 years, because there's a lot of grind going on at the moment. And people's nervous systems are really wound up. A lot of people are very stressed. They're working long hours, late nights. They're depriving themselves of sleep. I wanted to hear your thought on that. Are you a fan of any biohacking trick? What do you do in your lifestyle to manage that so that you are healthy, wealthy, and happy?
Absolutely, yes. If you go back like 10 years ago, I probably wasn't that good in this category. I grew up, it's a Maltese heritage family. So they're eating a lot of like breads and pastizzis and pasta. And, you know, like I really didn't understand that I was doing the wrong thing. And I was ending up a more portly gentleman than I should be, you know, kind of thing. And then it really all started with a mindset change of, hey, I don't want to be that anymore. I want to be more in shape, healthier, and really play the long game. Yeah, I've just turned 50. And so change the mindset first. That was the most important thing of, hey, that's not going to be me anymore. And then what most people do is they'll do like a diet or something, but it's a fad diet on and off again. So it's got to be a lifestyle choice rather than a diet. So that was kind of like another big thing that I did. And then I do, again, deep down the rabbit hole, like as far as learning the biohacking side. So learning about how I could slow down the way that my cells aged. So there's an amazing guy called David A. Sinclair, and he's a doctor out of Harvard. He's actually an Aussie guy, but he runs the anti-aging division in Harvard Medical School. And he taught me about this supplement called NMN. So N for Nelly, M for Mary, N for Nelly. And it changes the way your cells age. So that's been like an amazing thing that's happened in my life. I also really learned about hormone optimization. And I've taught this to like both men and women that I've coached and worked with. Your hormones has a massive effect on your life. And so basically the more testosterone you've got, especially for guys, the better you feel, and the better everything works, whether it's producing muscle, burning off fat, all that kind of stuff. So then I learned how to optimize testosterone levels. And so I'm 50, but my testosterone levels are still going up rather than down, whereas most people's are going down. So a lot of that came about working with a proactive health doctor and then doing regular quarterly bloods, because people do supplementation for different things, but often they don't know what they're supplementing for. And so if your body doesn't need it, you just kind of pee it back out. So if you work with a proactive health doctor, you get comprehensive bloods, then you're supplementing for things that you're low in to get them up. Because ideally you want your levels, working really, really well on everything. And then, so it was like a lot of, supplements, but then adding in things like weight training, so resistance to build muscle, a diet, so to slim down, and exercise, but exercising in a fun way, so that like I get on the e-bike several times a week. I surf, as you mentioned, nearly every day, or every day that the surf's good, I surf, try to surf every day, and trying to build just that amazing life resume. Just like, how can I inject more active fun into my life all the time? So health is a massive, massive part of wealth, and a really, really big believer in biohacking.
I love that. And the last time we spoke, we were talking about NMN and how there's a lot of research that suggests that taking NMN supplements may actually boost your NAD levels in the body. Yes. And basically NAD is going to help you with having more energy, increasing your energy metabolism, and also DNA repair. And NMN is a great form of supplement to take, because that is basically the precursor to NAD. So yeah, for anyone that's listening, definitely have a look into that, which is a fantastic thing. And you talked about looking after our hormones. Absolutely. That's a really crucial pillar for health. And I truly believe that sleep and diet, stress, that all contributes so much. Are there any guiding principles that you have to help with your sleep?
Yeah, I'm definitely doing blue blocker glasses in the last couple of hours of the evening, so that you're not getting the wrong light source. Stress reduction is a massive one, but I do understand that there's times in life when you're kind of hustling and things are stressful, but ideally trying to get to that point in life where you can you can cruise more. I think hitting sleep at a regular hour, like all the time, and for me, I'm a morning person, so I'll try and crash out early and then try and be up early and about and into it. So, and I think a dark room definitely helps, but yeah, big believer in maximizing sleep as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our ancestors would have gone to bed when the sun went down, and they say that's the best time to sleep. Like my grandpa lived to his 90s, and he used to always say, the earlier you rise and the earlier you sleep, the better for your longevity. He went to bed at 7. That's kind of impossible for the average person, but he always said that the most crucial hours was between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. because that's when a lot of your organs regenerate, and the chi really important for those organs, such as like your liver, your spleen, your lungs, your heart. My mum used to always talk about certain hours in the meridian clock and how like at certain hours, certain organs are repairing. And so between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. is really, really crucial, which can be quite hard for some people who aren't morning people, who are night owls. But yeah, I love the fact that you talk about blue blockers, because it really helps with your melatonin. Because if you are glued to your screen, especially before bed, there's blue light coming from our screens all the time. So even if you have a lamp that doesn't have blue light, you're still looking at blue light through your screen. So having those blue blockers is amazing. I love that you shared about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other things is with food, don't load up on food just before bed.
Yes.
Yeah, because then it's hard for your body to process. So intermittent fasting is another thing that I've found can really help. And I'm not really great at going long periods of time without food and stuff. I just do it the easy way. Everything I do is 80-20. What's the easy way? So what I'll do is I'll have dinner early, like 5 o'clock, have dinner. And that way I've got a couple of hours before I go to bed. And then in the morning, I'll probably surf and then have breakfast. So I'm having dinner early and then a late breakfast. So I may go 12 hours or 14 hours without food. And so what this is about is that your body can then go into repair mode because it's not into the mode of just processing food all the time. And it's really helped in scientific studies with mice, etc. And also, yeah, now they're finding that with people.
Yes. And I think that's a lot easier than just having one meal a day. I know I've heard say just one meal, we should only be eating one meal a day, but that's so tricky, especially when here in Melbourne, everything is around socializing with food. We don't catch up for a surf. We don't go and walk by the beach for most of the time of the year. So what do? We catch up over food and coffee. So reducing that to one meal a day can be tricky, but what you've shared where you like reduce your eating window, what would your eating window be? Like 8 hours, would you say?
Yeah, maybe more because like say, for example, if I had breakfast at 9 and then through till 5, so I'm eating all through that period. And then a lot of the time when I'm fasting, I'm sleeping, so it doesn't feel hard at all. And then I've just chained myself to just not have breakfast first thing. So I might have a coffee first thing. So often I might do an hour's worth of work and then go surfing and then come back to work. Or if the surf's not good, I'll do weights, you know, or get on the bike and that kind of thing.
So it sounds like your lifestyle is now at an optimized, I guess it's optimized for living life by freedom. And that's what a lot of entrepreneurs work toward. People work really hard when they're young to build this lifestyle by design, where you get to spend a lot more time present with your friends, your family, you get to go surfing, you get to do the things that you want. For the listeners who are maybe not quite there yet, they're now like in their 30s, hitting their 40s, or maybe they're in their 40s and they haven't been able to create that retirement that so many people dream of. What are a few things that they could do that would really be that 80-20 to shift things?
I think I've got this concept of the multi-leg stool. So this is a saying of one is the worst number in business. So if you think about one income stream, if you've just got one income stream, say for example, an employer, they can tell you, thanks, you've done a great job, but we don't need you anymore. We're replacing you with AI or anything to that effect. So I never want to have just one source of income. I always want to have multiple sources of income. That's been a big part of it because at times I've had something that's dropped off, but then other things have been able to, even if I wasn't doing as well, at least I didn't lose everything in one go. So multiple streams of income. And then I think learning specialized skills that pay. So right now, if you're not doubling down on learning AI, it's crazy. There's no doubt about it, but history is changing, you know, like right in front of us. And you can either be on the right side of it or the wrong side of it. Most people know this is happening, but they won't spend the time to like really, really learn it. So yeah, I think just put yourself on the right side of history there. Learn the technology, learn sales, learn marketing. E-commerce is a great thing to learn. There's four types of business models. You can be like e-commerce, software as a service. You can have an info business or a local services type business. And software as a service is really the best type of business because you've got the more leverage. I've learned over time, the more leverage you can get in your life, the more money you can make and the more freedom you can have. And you can get leverage in a whole bunch of different ways. And software as a service has pretty much all of them because you've got leverage of time. So like other people's time, so labor. You've got leverage of capital. So you might have put money in and then it's working for you. Or you can get that with investing as well. You've got leverage of code. So you build something and it's working. And then you've got leverage of internet, you know, like where you're using the internet to get your message out there. And the leverage of media. Exactly what you're doing here where, and me too, yeah, you're recording something once and then amplifying it out there. So focusing on how much leverage you can get, focusing on how many income streams you can get, and then ultimately getting your money working for you as well. Back to that, always spoke about B plus I, be a business owner and an investor.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Greg. I think that's a fantastic tip. And definitely there's so many options you've just given us. And for the listeners, I think if there's something that has resonated from that list, you don't have to try and jump on all of them. And I wouldn't recommend it because that would be a really overwhelming ride. But just find like two or three or one or two that resonates with you and just start there. Start researching, start YouTubing or using AI to ask it more questions about the different things that you've just discovered and reading about it and get your hands on the latest resources. Don't read books that are maybe 10, 20 years old about AI, for example, because that wouldn't be around, but find things that are current and new. I think there are books out there that have lasted the test of time, like The E-Myth, for example, and they're great principles, but combine that with like new and current resources that are constantly being up to date. What do you think of that, Greg?
Absolutely, 100%. I agree. Yeah, massively.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Greg, it's been so good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for what you've shared. I do have a couple of rapid fire questions for you before we wrap this up. So the first one would be, if you could leave the world with one message, and this was like your final message to the world, what would that message be?
I think more peace. Like, people don't treat each other, you know, well enough. So I think treat people better. There's no doubt about it. But from a lifestyle point of view, work smart, not hard, and enjoy the journey more.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love that. And if you could see yourself doing anything that you'd like in the next 5 years, what would you want to have accomplished or achieved?
I'm writing a TV series at the moment. Back years ago, I wrote a TV series and now I'm animating it. And this is called Barry Dodge and it's coming out in the next month or two. So it'll be animated comedy series. So I really want that to succeed because that's content and commerce amplifying content. And I think it just is another leg to my stool. Freedom, peace, but having fun while I work as well.
I love that principle because I think that if we weren't having fun doing what we do, it'd be very difficult to be able to, for example, scale a business or build something that will give you freedom and lifestyle and these kind of opportunities, because working hard is one thing, but doing what you love, it makes you feel like you're not working a single day of your life. So that's a fantastic one. And finally, what is one big takeaway that you've had recently, Greg, that has changed the way you show up or changed the way you see the world?
I know I'm thinking that life is finite. Life is short and you can't please everyone all the time. So you've kind of got to live, you've got to run your race. Yes, you've got to be considerate of others and the likes, but you only get one shot at life as well. So really like optimize for you as well as those that you love.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. I 100% agree. I think living to your purpose and your goals is super important. And yeah, that kind of reminds me of an Instagram reel that I saw just the other day where a girl actually walked away from a 10-year marriage because she discovered they were heading towards different goals, which sounds really sad, but I feel like it's inevitable if they made ultimately a really good choice to choose themselves and their dream life or their freedom or purpose. So yeah, that really resonates.
That's pretty deep.
That's pretty deep, yeah. And very raw for social media. So it's one of those rare ones that you see. That's real life.
Yeah. Some people share some stuff on social media, like about relationships or whatever. It's like, wow.
It's brave. Yeah. Well, Greg, thank you so much for your wisdom, for sharing on so many different topics today. I mean, we've really covered a lot of ground here today. We talked about freedom. We talked about lifestyle and business. We talked about wealth, biohacking, health, sleep, even a bit of nutrition. And for the listeners, I think if you've gained value from this episode, highly recommend that you continue learning about what you've uncovered today. Reach out, check out the show notes to get more resources and that link that Greg shared. Reach out to Greg if you have any questions. And of course, if you can, share this episode with your friends, family, and loved ones, because that will really amplify what this message is about and what this show is all about. And Greg, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been such an honor having you on the show. Thank you for your time and your energy and for sharing what you do and what you love. And yeah, just honored to have you today.
Thank you so much for you. It's been great.
So thanks for tuning in and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.